Sous chef Zach Hunter contends you can buy all manner of ridiculous cooking devices, but if you really want to become a better cook, the key is to learn the fundamentals that will serve as the building block for hundreds of dishes. And one of those fundamentals is the classic roux, one of the linchpins of French and Creole and Cajun cuisine. It's known as one of the famed mother sauces. It provides the base, and by adding a host of different ingredients, it can become a host of dishes to be reckoned with. Odd as it may seem, we can think of a rhythm section this way. The rhythm section might be seen as the foundation of any successful band, the base upon which the melody or the vocals stand. As bassist Victor Wooten put it, it's the dynamic force that grabs the audience, the glue that holds it all together. And so it is with the Soul Shakers and the jambalaya that is Guitarmageddon. It's an evening of blues to beat the winter blahs, February 16th at the Scranton Cultural Center. The Soul Shakers are backing up Teddy Young here from the very first Guitarmageddon concert 3 years ago. And as a foodie footnote, we might note that Bill Coleman, the bassist, has been a member of the New Orleans-style band Funkin' Gumbo. The Soul Shakers do the honors again this year with our oh-so-talented art scene guests, Dustin Douglas and Mike Miz, Maria Santamaro, Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Scranton Cultural Center, and bassist Bill Coleman of the Soul Shakers came together to launch Guitarmageddon, and they stopped in with Dustin and Mike to talk about the event and this year's lineup.
This is our third year, Winter Blues Guitarmageddon, right, Bill?
Yes, it is.
I've been with the Cultural Center for 6 years. And just looking to put together some great music events featuring our beautiful regional and local musicians. And, you know, we tossed around a lot of different ideas and that made sense, didn't make sense. And just looked to this beautiful space in the Grand Ballroom. So the music event itself takes place on the main stage, faces the ballroom. So it's not playing out to the big house, it's playing into the ballroom. It's a more intimate setting. And the room is set up in a spectacular way. It's cabaret style. So it's smaller tables and seating. Seating is very limited. So after that, it is standing room only, and it does get jam-packed full. So that's always a good thing. We're very excited about that. But really and truly, so many people tell me when they come in from the street, it's like walking into a blues club that you'd see in New York or Chicago or, you know, any of those big cities. So it's hard to believe that we're walking off of Washington Avenue in Scranton.
You know, we talked about it for a while, and she got in touch with me and says, oh, we'd like to do this something in the winter, and came up with the, thanks to Peter Florence, who was in our first show. He had the Guitarmageddon thing he was promoting at one point somewhere, and that sort of was borrowed from him. But the first year, we put together a show, and we had Teddy Young, and Teddy had just done a homegrown music segment here at WVIA, and he just came out with a new CD not that long ago. And we had Phyllis Hopkins and Bob McCartney, Peter Florence, and it was Clarence Spady band, and at the time, a seven-year-old guitar prodigy, Eamon Hubert, and that was a great show. And then last year, we had another good crop musicians come in and do a show there, and this year, we have an excellent lineup coming up, and very happy about it. Actually, we've been doing some rehearsals with them, some small rehearsals, and getting some of the tunes down with them. But an interesting thing about the Cultural Center, there's one of us here in the room and was riding a tricycle through the halls. I heard the other day at rehearsal, he used to ride his tricycle when he was a little kid through the halls of the Cultural Center.
My grandmother worked at the box office for years, and she used to babysit me. So I grew up in the Cultural Center, riding my little tricycle up and down the hallway, exploring rooms that I probably shouldn't have been in. Yeah, a lot of great memories. Yep. Yeah, well, back in the day, they had the steel bars on the windows in the box offices. And she would actually sit in there all day. I guess that was a thing. People would come and buy tickets, right?
Well, it's still, and yeah, that still happens today. Okay. I don't know about the bars on the windows, but.
Yeah, there was like jail cell type bar, you know, skinnier. And I just remember Grandma Dorothy, she worked for what was called the Broadway Theater Company.
Broadway Theater, yep. Yes, and Broadway Scranton is still one of our great partners.
Oh, okay, great.
The Echo must have been amazing because those spaces are so reverberant. And think of all the great musicians who've played there.
I do remember going into the main theater and yelling real loud and stuff and just hearing my voice echoing back. It was just a neat experience when no one was in there. And it's also kind of spooky in there when all the lights are out.
Yeah, that could be very scary. Uh-huh. We have a great house. The house seats over 1,800 people. So that's a pretty big stage. Mike, you've played on that stage.
I have, thanks to you.
Mike came and opened up for Southside Johnny one year. I think that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. It's a great music venue. It really, truly is. Whether you're playing to the main house or playing into the ballroom, because that main stage just, it makes it happen. We've got a great crew on. The sound is always perfect. Lighting is wonderful.
Bill, you're the house band in a sense.
Well, we're the rhythm section, the Soul Shakers, myself on bass, Aaron O'Connell on the drums, and Eric Brody joins us on keyboards on occasion, and there's certain things he does with us, and this is one of them. And so we'll be backing up all the acts that day. And so to start off, we have Dalton 45s, which is Bob McCartney, who is actually the only other musician besides the Soul Shakers to be at each Guitarmageddon show so far. He's played with people the first 2 years. But he's a vocalist, blues harp guy, and Clyde Rosencrantz. They have a CD called Storyville that came out. So the two of them are going to be joined with Peter Florence, who's going to be playing some guitar with them. So they're going to be playing the Dalton 45s, some of their originals. Then we have Dustin Douglas.
Hello.
He's going to be with us there. And we've gone through a short rehearsal with him, and we're going to be doing some of his songs off his CD, Dustin Douglas and the Electric Gentleman. And we have Joe Capicki. Joe is a Scranton native, and he's played in local bands for years around the area. And about a year ago, he moved out to Mesa, Arizona. And he had a CD out, too, called Northeast to Southwest, which is the journey he took. Well, Sharon and I and Eric have played with Joe for years. So he's actually flying in from Arizona to do this show with us, so we're happy he's coming. Then we have Jesse Maurer, who is a young guitarist from Carbondale. And he just turned 21 last year, and the kid has some chops, so I think people are going to enjoy him.
There's no doubt. You'd never think he was 21 either.
No.
I think he comes from another life, I think.
But this set is going to be also with Mike Miz, who has a new CD out called A Year Ago Today. We're going to have a special guest on vocals with them, Angelina Bonnet. She's locally in the Valley, but she's been around quite a while. She has a tremendous voice, so she's going to be joining us for that set. And I'm looking forward to that, too. And finally, we're going to have Say a Cabo, which is a 10-piece Santana tribute band. They're going to be finishing up the show. And I've been playing with Say a Cabo probably for about a year now. So we got them on the bill. And we'll be doing some Santana songs from different albums. So that'll be a good way to wrap up the night.
It sounds like from the first chord, you don't stop.
We don't. It's a very fast-paced, moving show. And yeah, once it starts, there's no break in between, except for the changeovers. And what's nice about the rhythm section, being the steady rhythm section, the changeovers go a little bit quicker and keeps the pace going. But in that time, folks can just, you know, take their little stretch. And of course, we have some beverages available and food is available.
What's the nice part of an event like this for you two? Why is it good to have a chance to say, hey, Mike, what's been happening? Things like that.
For me, that's the most part is like me and Mike get to hang out. You know, me and Bill get to hang out. We're always playing separately, so we don't get to do that often. And to be able to play our sets and hang out, and that's cool.
Bill said you'll be doing some of your own songs. When you play these pieces with different musicians like this, do you hear new things that you might not have heard before?
Yeah, I enjoy letting them interpret the song. I don't want it to be how the Electric Gentleman would play it, because, you know, I do that enough. So, you know, Bill, it's cool. It's nice to hear your tunes played by a different rhythm section.
I just like what Dustin said, that it's not often that we all get to hang out, play together, and not only that, but listen to each other's sets all in the same day. That's a really cool thing.
It sounds like the energy is already being stoked as folks are coming into the room, that they're expecting something good.
Eric, that's a very interesting point, because the fan base, and Bill can attest to this too, they're there for that reason. They're there, that this is what they want to hear, and they expect, you know, what we usually deliver, and that's like stellar music. This fan base is very loyal and dedicated to this particular style of music, and we're lucky to have them because they come from all over. So some have traveled up to an hour or so to come and see this show, and we get excited about that all the time. And it's funny because the doors open at 7, show starts at 7:30, doors open at 7, and there's a mob in the lobby waiting to get in to get their seats, of course, you know. So it's like, as soon as those doors open, it's like a mad rush, which is, it's really cool for the musicians too. And it gives the musicians an opportunity to play in a house where the respect is given back to them. You know, some venues, it might not necessarily, you know, in a bar it's a little bit different because there's a lot going on. In this kind of a setting, all eyeballs are on you, and that's the way we want it.
Theaters are some of the most beautiful things that still exist. You know, they all have a story about them, and they all have a vibe to them, and that vibe is usually pretty cool. And the Scranton Cultural Center, I've seen so many shows at the Scranton Cultural Center, so it's cool. And this is actually the first time I'm playing the Scranton Cultural Center.
Oh, wow, that's so awesome.
Yeah, there's still things to knock off the list, which is cool.
Like, especially for people like us who are from the area, you know, and have paid our dues playing every bar in town, those gigs are the ones we look forward to. And this show at the Cultural Center is it's like a highlight on the calendar, you know. It's something that we look forward to, and it's inspiring. It inspires us, and it inspires us to watch each other play. And I think it's sort of the setting that we're meant to play in.
Absolutely.
Bill, you've got a host of CDs there in front of you on the table, and you've told us that there's actually a CD that's come out of the event.
Yeah, we have actually one that we recorded the first year, the first Tarmageddon show, Soul Shakers Winter Blues Guitarmageddon, and that was recorded by Phil Gomez of Drive Tone Studio, and it was mixed and mastered by Clyde Rosencrantz, who's on the bill coming up, of Republic Audio, and that's available on Blues Broker Records, along with Dustin's and the Dalton 45s and Northeast to Southwest, and maybe we'll get Mike Miz to throw a couple on there too. So bluesbrokerrecords.com. We actually put the Blues Broker Records thing together after we recorded the first Guitarmageddon show and said, you know, well, how are we going to distribute this? We just put together a website. And then other artists in the area started having us put their CDs up there too. So we work with them and try to get them out to get heard. It's really a site for any PA musicians, basically, is what it is. We're trying to do blues and roots music on there. But yeah, the first CD, and then it's going to be recorded this year by Phil Gomez again, and we'll see if we can get Clyde to do the mixing and mastering of that and put out another CD. I have a feeling we're going to have some killer sets, so if we do get it, it's going to be tough to decide exactly which songs are going to go on the CD, but that's a good problem to have.
We've just talked about CDs, your CDs, and the recording of the live event. You both make CDs. In fact, you both have recent CDs. Do you approach the live concert situation differently from the recording experience?
For me, it's very different. The album is very to the point. This new record that I did, I like to call it like trimming the fat. We really tried to trim as much as we could off of the songs and make them kind of convey them in the simplest, purest form we could. But when we play live, it's kind of almost the opposite. We extend sections, we even write different parts for songs to be extended, and playing with the band like the Soul Shakers, it gives plenty of room for everyone to take around and play extra solos, and it's a little more energetic.
Yeah, I mean, the album is like a kind of the blueprint, but you kind of stray away from that live, for sure.
You really don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it.
That's the fun of it.
And Bill, as the rhythm section, you all have to be ready to pivot on a moment's notice.
Key is keep your eyes and ears open. That's it. Just watch and listen. It works out, I would say, 98% of the time.
There's no doubt that a live audience sets the tone. I mean, you have this live audience that's totally into what you're playing, and you know, you're feeding off of each other's energy, and it just takes on a whole life that you're not going to see that again. Of course, you're going to want to see a good thing again, and you will, but I mean, that's in the moment. And I think that that's just an experience. It's an incredible experience. It's overwhelming, I think.
And Maria, you've given us a sense at past Guitarmageddons that people don't want to let go, that they don't want to leave.
Keep going. There's always that one more, play one more. And that's an awesome feeling, too. You know, we are so blessed because we have the most phenomenal talent in northeastern Pennsylvania. I mean, we really do. And as Bill said, I think we've only had a couple that have come back from show to show. And not that we don't want them, but we have so many different musicians that we invite back each year, and it freshens up the show and it becomes new. Each show is different. Every year has been different from the next. I won't say better, because that's a bad comparison. I mean, it's just different. And we definitely deliver a tremendous feel and vibe to the audience.
Well, as an example, Bob McCartney, who has been at every show so far, the first 2 years he was there in a support position. So he was playing harmonica for Phyllis or whoever. But this year he's basically having his own set with Clyde. The two of them are the Dalton 45s, and so they're up right up front. And he'll be doing the singing and playing the harmonica. But it's his set, which is kind of cool.
So it's 3 years and you've established a tradition.
Yes, the support has been tremendous. It really has. And I think the seating, the capacity for the actual seating at tables is about 200. And then, there's space and additional chairs. After that, it's pretty much standing room only. And people don't mind that either. And then, of course, you're going to have your dancers, because there's just no... I'm not the type to sit still for this kind of music, and there's a good group of people that you're going to see that are going to get right up there and start dancing, and some of them dance pretty well. We have some pretty good footage of some great partner dancing and stuff, so it's a lot of fun. Last year, I think, was a lot of fun. We had some real hardcore dancers.
I think it's great that you let people dance. One time I saw B.B. King, I won't say where, and a woman tried to dance, and they made her go sit back down. But I think it's because you ran in the front of the theater and was probably blocking people's way. But the fact that you're going to let people have room to dance is awesome.
It's certainly encouraged. Yes. Absolutely. Yes.
What's next after Guitarmageddon?
Well, we start recording a record the first weekend of March, the new one. And then we have Destination Blues, which is coming up. So
it's our buddy Richard Briggs.
Looking forward to that. So things are looking cool.
I'm in the middle of a record release tour right now, and wrapping up about 5 or 6 more shows this week. I'm playing every day for the rest of the week here, from Connecticut to Asbury Park to upstate New York, all over the place. And next week we're actually heading to Relics Magazine headquarters in New York City to record a few songs for them, which is going to be really cool. So a lot of cool stuff's going on. The album's doing some really neat things right now.
And for you, Bill?
The Soul Shakers, we run 2 blues jams a month on the first Thursday of every month. We're at the Backyard Ale House in Scranton. So we invite anybody who wants to come out and play to come out and play with us. And also on the second Sunday of every month, we have a blues jam we run up at Arlo's up in Uniondale. So, you know, we have 2 opportunities for people just to come out, and it doesn't matter how many are up there at once. I mean, both of these guys have come out and hosted. We have different hosts for each one.
Great time, always.
And both of them have come out and done it. So, and we look forward to having them back again.
And with anything like this, Maria, it's a labor of love.
Oh, we're just so thrilled to do it. And we're so thrilled that these wonderful musicians get together and participate in these events, because not only are we doing this in support of keeping the NEPA music scene alive, but it's also very supportive of the venue itself. The Scranton Cultural Center, as we all know, is a nonprofit organization. You know, supporting events like this is supporting the ultimate mission, you know, and that's what we're there for, is to keep that building going, keep the programming alive, and it's all good.
And the details?
It's Friday, February 16th. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Show starts right at 7:30. And we go right on until about 11 o'clock, and it's nonstop. And for ticket information, you can go on our website, scrantonculturalcenter.org. Tickets are available now at the box office. I would suggest that get them early, and definitely get there early if you want to get a seat. There's a cash bar available as well, and there are going to be some really great food items available, as, like, you know, your typical blues food that you'd love to have, like that pulled pork, and like you might see at any blues festival. So it's gonna be great.
Maria Santamoro, Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Scranton Cultural Center, bassist Bill Coleman of the Soul Shakers, musicians Dustin Douglas and Mike Miz, all speaking about the Soul Shakers Winter Blues Guitarmageddon 3, and that will be Friday, February 16th at 7:30 p.m. at the Scranton Cultural Center. For more information on the web, scrantonculturalcenter.org, scrantonculturalcenter.org, live. The Soul Shakers Winter Blues Guitarmageddon 3, Friday, February 16th at 7:30 p.m., the Dalton 45s, Dustin Douglas, Jesse Maurer, Mike Miz, Joe Kopicki, and Seiya Cabo at the Scranton Cultural Center, all backed by the Soul Shakers. For more information and tickets, on the web, scrantonculturalcenter.org, scrantonculturalcenter.org, and you can go in person to the box office. Grandma Dorothy won't be there. Mike's Grandma Dorothy won't be there. She's retired, but you can get the tickets at the box office or online.